Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building a jungle pad drift in Ableton Live 12, with crisp transients up top and dusty mids underneath. The goal is not just to make something lush. The goal is to make something that breathes around the drums and bass, something atmospheric, but still controlled enough to survive a proper D&B arrangement. This kind of pad is perfect for intros, breakdowns, first bar lifts, and those halftime or jungle crossover moments where you want movement without clutter. That matters in D&B because contrast is everything. If every layer is wide, smeared, and constantly active, the groove loses definition. But if the pad has a clear front edge, a stable core, and a little mid-range grit, it can sit behind a breakbeat and still feel alive. So let's build it. Start with a pad source that has movement potential. Waveatable is a great choice in Ableton Live 12 because it gives you control without forcing the sound to become overcooked. You can use analog or simpler too, but Waveatable is a clean starting point for this kind of design. Set up a simple minor chord, or even a two-note cluster if you want something darker and more restrained. You do not need a huge cinematic stack here. In jungle and dark D&B, a strong harmonic idea is usually better than a dense one. For the synth itself, try a saw or triangle-based source, maybe with a second oscillator slightly detuned. Keep the unison light. You want width, not haze for the sake of haze. Shape the amp envelope with a moderate attack, maybe somewhere around 20 to 80 milliseconds, and a release in the 1.5 to 4 second range. That gives you enough bloom to feel drifty, but not so much softness that the note disappears behind the break. What to listen for here is simple. Does the chord bloom naturally, and does it feel stable enough to loop for 8 bars without getting annoying? If it already feels musical with just the raw instrument, you're in a good place. If not, fix the note choice and the envelope before piling on effects. Now let's add drift. Put auto filter after the synth and start with a low pass shape. The cutoff can live anywhere from about 400 Hz to 3K Hz depending on how dusty or open you want the sound to feel. Keep resonance gentle. Too much resonance and the pad starts to whistle instead of breathe. For movement, you've got two good directions. If you want the pad to feel submerged and cinematic, use a slow filter LFO, either inside the synth or through autofilter. Aim for something moving over half a bar to 2 bars, with a shallow depth. It should feel like a tide coming in and out. If you want something more haunted and unstable, add auto pan after the filter. Keep the amount subtle. Set the phase carefully depending on whether you want simple level motion or a wider stereo drift. Again, the motion should be felt before it's consciously noticed. If it sounds like an obvious wobble effect, it's too much for this job. Why this works in D&B is because the pad is not trying to become the main event. It's doing support work. It needs motion, but it also needs discipline. The drums and bass still need to hit hard. Now let's build the front edge. This is where the pad gets its crisp, transient character. Duplicate the instrument track or create a second layer on a separate MIDI track. This second layer is not the body of the sound. It's the dusty attack, the little bit of definition that lets the pad speak through a busy break. A good stock chain here is simpler, then a filter, then saturator, then EQ8. Load in a short dusty chord sample, a noise-based hit, or a grainy source that has some texture. Keep it short and not too glossy. In simpler, classic, or one-shot mode, both work depending on the sample. Trim any dead air at the start so you're not wasting space on a blank attack. Set the envelope so the attack is almost immediate, but not so sharp that it becomes clicky or distracting. Keep the decay short, somewhere around 100 to 400 milliseconds, with a low sustain and a short release. Then high-pass it with EQ8, usually somewhere around 200 to 500 Hz, so this layer only contributes mid-transient and texture. What to listen for now is whether the pad can be heard through the rhythm without being turned up too much. That's the sweet spot. You're not trying to make it loud, you're trying to make it readable. Next, let's focus on the dusty mids. This is where the sound stops being a clean synth pad and starts feeling like it belongs in a jungle record. Use saturator on the main layer, either before or after filtering depending on how much edge you want. Keep the drive modest. Around 2 to 6 dB is often enough. Soft clip can help if the sound needs a little bite, but don't crush it. We want dusty mids, not brittle fizz. Then shape with EQ8. High pass the low end somewhere, around 120 to 250 Hz so the pad doesn't fight the sub lane. If it's muddy, carve a little around 250 to 500 Hz. If it feels too sterile, a small lift around 900 Hz to 2K Hz can help it speak. That mid-range is important because jungle pads often need to feel sampled, weathered, or a little haunted. The harmonics are what make them translate on smaller speakers without becoming just background air. Be careful not to overdo saturation. If the mids turn harsh and static, back off. At that point, the pan stops drifting and starts flattening the mix. Usually, the better move is to keep the distortion gentle and let the filter motion carry more of the character. Now let's separate the body from the air. This is a big one for D&B. The low mid clutter can kill your kick, snare, and bass if you let the pad get too wide too early. Keep the main body relatively centered and only widen the top layer. You can do that with Carse Ensemble or a subtle auto pan, but high pass the wide layer more aggressively, often around 400 Hz or higher. Use utility to check mono compatibility. If the pad disappears or gets hollow in mono, the width is too dependent on phase tricks. In a club that can fall apart fast, the better approach is a solid core with a controlled stereo halo. What to listen for here is balance. In stereo, the pad should wrap around the groove. In mono, the core should still hold together. If it collapses, narrow it before you do anything else. Now the rhythm. This is where the sound becomes D&B instead of just ambient texture. Program the pad so it drifts with the bar. You might hold the chord for the first half of the bar, then change one note on beat 3. You might use a chord hit every two bars with a sustained tail. Or you can add a small change on the end of 4 to create a lift into the next bar. For jungle, a useful shape is to let the pad hold for a bar, repeat it with one note changed or the filter open slightly, then pull it back for a moment before bringing it in again. That gives the loop a sense of progression without overcrowding the break. And this is important. Test it against the actual drums and bass early. Don't wait until the sound is finished in solo. If it works with just kick, snare, and sub, it will usually survive the rest of the arrangement. If it only sounds good when the hats and atmospheres are masking everything, it's too dependent on the mix around it. If you want extra clarity, use parallel thinking instead of one heavy chain. One chain can handle the dryish body. Another chain can handle the transient layer. Keep the transient layer much quieter. It should be felt before it is heard. If it feels pokey, shorten the decay or lower the level. If it feels blurred, raise the high pass point or reduce stereo width. At this point, if the pad already reads clearly in the loop with drums, stop pushing. That's a big rule. A lot of good pads get ruined by over-editing. Sometimes the answer is not more processing. Sometimes the answer is just arrangement. Speaking of arrangement, give the pad one meaningful change every 8 bars. Maybe the filter slowly opens a little over the phrase. Maybe the saturation increases slightly before a transition. Maybe the transient layer rises for a fill. Maybe the reverb send blooms for the last half of a section and then drops back. That's enough. You do not need to automate everything. In D&B, too much motion can make the groove feel unstable instead of exciting. Here's a strong phrase idea. Let the pad dominate the intro, thin it out when the groove enters, open it slightly as the bass arrives, then reduce the body again for the next section. That keeps the arrangement readable for DJs and gives the drop real contrast. Now for the final mix pass. High pass the pad enough that it doesn't eat kick, punch, or bass body. Keep the transient layer away from the sub and low bass range. Watch the 200 to 400 Hz zone carefully because that's where mud builds up fast. If the snare starts losing its crack, the pad may be sitting too hard in the 2 to 5 kHz range. If the kick loses definition, the low mids may be too full. And if the sub starts feeling smaller, the stereo information is probably crowding the center. A useful habit is to reduce width before reducing character. A slightly narrower pad with a stronger mid-core usually translates better in D&B than a huge wide one that falls apart outside headphones. Once it sounds right, print it to Audivo. Freeze and flatten, or resample it, so you can treat it like a real musical part. That makes it much easier to edit phrases, reverse a tail, or mute the transient layer for one bar before the drop and bring it back on the downbeat. That kind of move can be huge. If you want a darker result, lean into the note choice too. Minor seconds, suspended voicings, and slightly uneasy harmonies can do a lot of the work before the sound design even starts. That's a pro move in D&B. Sometimes the harmony carries the menace, and the texture just seals it in. And don't forget this one. Let the pad breathe around the snare. If the snare lands hard on 2 and 4, a tiny dip in pad level or a slight thinning of the mids right before the hit can make the groove feel much more expensive. Subtle moves count. So to recap, the winning formula is a stable harmonic pad, a separate transient layer for definition, controlled dusty mids for character, and careful stereo management so the low end stays clean. Build the sound in two passes. First, get the note and envelope right. Then shape the movement and texture. Check it against kick, snare, and sub early. Keep the width under control. Keep the motion musical. and commit it to Audingo when it starts working. Your challenge is to build one 8-bar jungle pad drift using only Ableton stock devices, with no more than 2 layers. Make sure it has one automation move and one arrangement change. Then test it with the drums and bass, collapse it to mono, and see if the core still holds up. If it does, you've got something usable. Try the exercise, make the intro version, make the tighter drop version, and let the pad do its job. Breathe around the break, support the groove, and add that haunted DNB atmosphere without stealing the show. That's the sound.